Hello! Today's June 2nd, and we're here with your next little check mark on your apocalypse bingo card with the government news today.
The year's half gone. Can you believe it? Where did 2020 go?
Hell! It's gone straight to hell.
Oh, you know what? I also forgot. People are just furious because the mouse pointer is on Krista's face sometimes. And I don't do that on purpose. I can't. We don't even see her except for in the OBS window. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to move her window all the way down here where the mouse should never be.
And before it's there.
So that should satisfy you. Deeply disturbed individuals. One person was like, I'm done. I'm out. I can't do it.
Unsubscribed.
And once again, Linode has saw fit to sponsor this week's episodes of the news.
They called us and they were like, if that mouse pointer is on her one more week, we're done. Don't ever call us again.
So there's a link in the description below. Linode, if you're not in the know, is a virtual private server provider. But they do so much more than that. You can set up your own instances of OwnCloud, which is like a file hosting thing. You want to host your own files because maybe you don't want Google rifling through your files, especially in the current political climate we find ourselves in. That'd probably be a good thing. Your own book server, like you Bookwitty. Yeah, Krista knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we can see in the bottom now. This is so much better.
Yeah.
And VPN.
You host your own VPN. Don't trust any company.
Useful now because, you know, your browsing history, for example.
That VPN would be really handy if you had a burner phone and you turned off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and you just, you know, had your own endpoint. You would know if somebody's looking through your stuff. It's really handy. So thanks, Linode, for sponsoring this episode of the news. There's an affiliate link below. You can use that and get, I think, a $20 credit. They also have Kubernetes, Google Compute Engine. Linode's really expanded their services the last couple of years. So if you tried them a year or two ago, they've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 Forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
So we got to get to it right out of the gate. And this is, secondarily related, but the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy right now. By the time you watch this, it's probably gotten crazier. But
yeah,
the U.S. a bit of a tinderbox. And we were like char cloth, all trapped in our homes with only one little port for oxygen. And now we're super combustible. But this points out behavior from our leaders that bleeds into the technology world in the way of social media. And of course, I'm talking about Donald Trump and his prolific tweeting during this time. Up until now, a lot of the social media companies have kind of been hands-off when it comes to political statements on their platforms because you can't really win. And we were actually just talking about this before the news. It's like you can't really win talking about this because, you know, and when it was like, maybe we shouldn't.
Everybody's
insane.
And
I was like, Thomas Jefferson is spinning his grave, damn it.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
We absolutely will.
Okay.
So the first story, of course, is about Mr. Trump and his reaction to being flagged.
Twitter flags Trump tweet about George Floyd protests for glorifying violence. This is a Wall Street Journal article. And so Twitter was like, okay, we've got to draw the line here. No, this is not okay. And this Twitter thing has actually led to a whole flurry of stories. But,
We should point out that I didn't bother to put that story in because, you know, it's all rolled into it. But it started with the vote from home stuff.
Yeah.
And they put that was misinformation.
Yeah.
Because he said that voting from home would lead to fraud.
Twitter, there's no evidence of that yet.
Twitter felt that was disinformation. And so Trump was like, all right, line in the sand. You do it again, you're going to get the horns. They did it again with this thing. So,
right or wrong, this is what's happening. Mostly wrong.
Did you actually see what he tweeted? I mean, it's just been like multiple things.
Well,
like they're all terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they're all terrible. Literally anything was terrible. Like, why is it just now?
Guns on civilians. Good job.
Are you talking about his clever rhyme?
Yeah.
There's that one, and then there's the one where he's bragging about how great the National Guard is.
Yeah, it continues, but you're skipping ahead in the timeline, Krista.
The next step
was this.
Trump signs executive order targeting protections for social media platforms. Now, this Axios article goes on to describe that executive orders don't work this way? Really?
Well, they kind of do, but this one, the way it's worded, doesn't have a lot of teeth. This is a bit of a political tantrum, I think.
Yes.
So, it's Article 230. Is it 230 or 203?
Yes, the Communications Decency Act is 230.
So it means that you cannot be liable for what is on your platform from your users. Like, you are not, you don't have to moderate it, because how could you? Right,
but we're not responsible for what the level one forum users write.
Exactly, but then Trump is saying, no, you are moderating, you are editorializing, so now you don't get this protection. There's a huge loophole as well here. If you opt in to said moderation, which every terms of service will immediately be updated, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of far-reaching. For a politician to...
There's also the court case that Axios tries to also shoehorn in here, too, where corporations are entitled to free speech. Like, the whole, you know, the whole editorializing as free speech for the company, that is a thing that's allowed, even though a corporation is a non-person entity, which doesn't seem like it should have free speech rights.
Well, that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad things clashing here, coming together in one big dumpster to be burned.
But the whole Section 230 thing is actually kind of a cornerstone of the modern internet, because nobody would allow users to do anything. I mean,
What we lost with the child protection thing.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of undermined it then, but they clearly wanted more. And a lot of you are already furiously typing Orange Man bad comments. But hang on before you go that far, because this is two sides of the same coin. The result, the desired result, has always been the same.
Yeah. Joe Biden says that he doesn't like Trump's Twitter order, but still wants to revoke Section 230. The campaign said his position hasn't changed. So I don't think it's good for the internet at large that both of these politicians agree about Section 230.
They disagree. It is kind of a fundamental disagreement, but toward the same end. They both want to do away with 230. Trump wants it in the sense that no moderation, that it's up to the user to make their own decision. Biden, in the sense that heavy moderation, such that Twitter is afraid to let anything controversial through.
Yeah, I mean, think about like corporate projects, where it's like, this would be so much better if we allowed user participation, and they're like, no, users are terrible. We want to shout at users, and we want them to absorb our content. We don't want them to actually participate. And it's like, well, you're never going to have a community then.
They don't care about community. They just care about your clicks.
It makes me so angry that I kind of want to burn down an AutoZone.
Are you the agent provocateur?
Some of that is really like...
terrifying. Everything about the situation is terrifying.
Those are not the only politicians. It seems like anytime the tech companies, you know, someone starts beating on them, the dog pile grows quickly. And one more shot was taken.
Exclusive, another Axios article. Ted Cruz calls for criminal investigation of Twitter. Okay. You think maybe the politicians are just starting to realize that the tech companies actually do have a lot more political power than they thought? And this is really just two terrible entities vying for power?
So this is not about the Trump thing. This is about the Iran stuff. So we have sanctions against Iran, and we know that the Iranian leaders are on Twitter. They tweet a lot. Although, are the people allowed to use it in Iran? I can't remember that. I know China has that sort of do as we say, not as we do relationship with Twitter. So Ted Cruz is saying, hey, you are providing goods and services to the Iranians. Obviously. Why are you doing this? You should be investigated.
I thought we cleared that up with like Android. Like, you could buy Android phones in Iran, and that was okay. Like, that was a thing, I thought. The State Department was like, meh.
Well, listen, Ted Cruz wanted his name in the paper to do with Twitter. You know, it's hot right now. A slight bit of good news, maybe.
Probably not.
If you'll recall that the big spying bill, the new spying bill that was put through, was set up in such a way that they would be able to spy on all of our web browsing data, that's the kind of thing that, you know, like Joe Sixpack can really feel the weight of. It's like, ooh, you know, you're mentally going back through, and it's like, wait a minute.
I don't think that Joe Sixpack can feel. I think it has to be broken down. Like, was it John Stewart broke it down? It was like, blah, 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 government surveillance. It's like, I don't know, maybe. It's like, the government can go through your phone and get your nudes. What?
Yeah.
And in this case, the nude videos you've been watching. So, yeah, I think people can kind of understand that. And, you know, all of us have websites that we wouldn't want the world to know we visited. I think that's universal.
Listen, I was just looking at that for morbid curiosity, not because I identify with their ideals.
It doesn't matter. So, anyway.
The House leaders strike deal to protect U.S. web browsing data from warrantless surveillance. But yeah, this is from Gizmodo, and they don't really come right out and say it. But, you know, I've looked at this from several articles. It doesn't look like this really has any teeth. And the reason I say that is because the threshold for being able to get this data, even with a warrant, is so low.
You know,
it's shocking.
I think I made a mistake here. I think I confused the two. This is the one with the loophole.
Okay.
If you opt in, they can.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't remember. You know what? I read all these articles all at once.
That might have been a thing.
Kind of bled together.
I don't think it was the Gizmodo article, but there was another article that that had a supposition that, hey, you know that whole DNS kerfuffle? It's like how ISPs did not want the whole encrypted DNS, but you know, they were saying that they don't use it for advertising data or anything like that. Just the DNS requests could be used for building a profile of sorts that could be collected without a warrant.
Right, just by IP address.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it would be trivial to, you know, have a government database of IP addresses and subscribers.
Sure. And we know that your browsing data footprint, which could be put together by the DNS requests, can identify you as a person.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if you can use that in court, but
well, hey, parallel construction, you know, we know, right, from the, yeah, Snowden things where they were like, look, you're going to get all this stuff illegally. You're going to have to construct your case using, you know, anonymous tips from this thing that no one can ever know about. And it's like, wow, it's turtles all the way down.
All of a sudden there's crack in your car. You didn't put it there. So that they have kind of given us a little bit of a, you know, walked it back just a little bit, two steps forward, one step back, or vice versa in this case. But the other side of the aisle was immediately furious and made some interesting arguments in the other direction.
Leaked Senate talking points say internet surveillance warrants would force FBI to let terrorists bomb buildings. Or bomb things, I guess. Oh, it's Lindsey Graham. Oh, no. Oh.
So they literally, in this, I don't know if it was leaked on purpose or whatever, but the talking points literally had a little narrative,
yeah,
about a dam being blown up. And FBI agents sort of like on a hill in the background looking down on it with tears running down their faces because they were hampered by this terrible law.
Okay, when Level 1 has more of a production budget, we need to do a parody version of the crying Native American commercial that we all saw as kids when somebody threw, it was like in New York, and he threw, you know, like old fast food out the window and the Native Americans crying.
A guy in a suit with dark glasses and the tear runs from under the glasses.
Yeah, like Agent Smith. I was trying to protect you from yourselves. Can we talk about the meta narrative that, like, Congress critters are circulating these kinds of documents because it's like, man, thinking about these hard things is really hard. Why don't I just let somebody else come up with talking points in a document for me because they can think for me? Like, that's a little disturbing.
It's absolutely disgusting. And you know who I blame? The Dollar Tree. Another small glimmer of hope, maybe, in the lawmaking world.
Proposed bill would ban micro-targeting of political advertisements. Hey, why stop there? Why don't we just go whole enchilada for all micro-targeting of all advertisements?
Google has supposedly stopped doing this, although there's probably some ways that you can kind of, you know, construct an ad profile that would get you close to it. Twitter, I think, doesn't allow political ads at all, right? But Facebook, do whatever you want.
I don't understand why, you know, ad agencies that have a clue haven't already, like, embraced this. Because with things like GDPR, the CCPA, that consumer data really is the new asbestos. But you could advertise to people in a completely different way. Like, kind of like what Amazon does. Like, with Amazon, you can go to Amazon and search for various products. And if you don't find the product that you're looking for, you don't buy it or whatever. Well, even if you do buy it, it's like, oh, are you still looking for doorknobs? You bought 7 doorknobs, but I've got all these wonderful deals on doorknobs. But you could just say the kinds of things that you've got as an upcoming purchase and then wait for deals or wait for, like, whatever your purchase habit is. Like, that would be a completely different way to do advertising. And it seems like that would be way better and way less horribly privacy invasive.
probably not as useful in terms of selling political candidates.
I guess it's also, well, yeah, I get a lot. Some advertising is convincing you that you need something that you didn't know you needed. And other times, yeah. And other times it's like, I know that I need this thing. I'm not interested in paying full retail.
Some other fallout.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
The real question I have about this article is, like, why does she have her mask pulled down over her chin?
I've noticed that. I've noticed in almost all press photos about everything that's happening, no one is wearing their mask correctly. And again, I weep for the future of humanity.
It's probably just, you know, that really helps out with that old lady rooster chin.
That's a fashion. Understand.
I noticed a lot of people at the protests had the mask down under the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, is your nose hair really that amazing that it would filter out that stuff?
Why give them more to work with the facial recognition?
What an amazing superpower. Like, you know, most of the time it's just horribly socially awkward and hard to breathe. But during a pandemic.
No, it was tested in a lab. My nose is N95.
It'd be incredible.
There's just pollen around their nose all the time. It's like, are you on coke? No. I was jogging.
It's like me working in the attic at my house, except instead of pollen, it's filth.
And asbestos, as we know, is in that home. Well, the social media companies are a little bit incensed because alongside all these draconian spying laws, we also have a lot of immigration laws that have come from the recent terrorism turmoil. And one of the more extreme of those was social media. Now, there was one point, I don't know if this doesn't discuss that, but there was one point they wanted your passwords.
Yeah.
Now it seems they only want your accounts to make sure that you weren't, you know, like following Hezbollah or something like that. But is that too much?
Twitter and Reddit challenge U.S. rules forcing visa applicants to disclose their social media handles. Now, you know why they don't need the password anymore, don't you? They've got a foreign intelligence surveillance order to just get whatever account they want. Yeah, so this was when you're coming into the border, like you were saying, or coming across the border, this was more of a policy, like a rule change, than like something that had been passed in law, but it was really popular. And there was a couple students, there were a couple exchange students that were denied entry into the U.S. based on the contents of their social media.
I remember that Harvard story.
Yeah.
But it wasn't him.
It was his friend.
It was who he followed. Hmm. So.
What, and you know, having been acquainted with some 17-year-olds that are maybe a little short-sighted playing CSGO, I could imagine them saying something like that just to be like, you know, ha ha ha, you know, I'm going to get you caught up in the filter. And it's like, you really did. And they're like, what? I'm sorry.
But how many degrees of separation is there before that's okay? If a friend followed a terrorist and you were friends with them, is that okay? how many filters are there required?
I think as we see with the viral propagation, we're all doomed anyway.
You got to do contact tracing. Terrorist contact tracing.
Foreshadowing. Aren't they doing that with the protesters?
They have claimed that, and this is kind of disturbing because you think, oh, they can't do that. And it's like, wait a minute. With Clearview and China software, they can do that. They're saying that there's so much video because if you watch the protest, it's crazy. Everybody is filming it.
Yeah.
Like no one is just experiencing the protest. Everyone is documenting it. Like, I guess that's a good thing, but they're saying that based on all that video that's going to come out on social media, they will be able to identify who started fires.
It's weird. You can watch the whole thing, like, just live.
I wonder if that's also going to go for
city by city
law enforcement that's doing maybe amoral things.
Oh, no, never.
No, I mean, I've seen plenty of clips of cops doing amoral things.
The one that got me... And this was one of, this was, I had to take a hate nap again afterwards because I watched it 5 times and I was just like, I have to, if I don't go to sleep now, my blood is going to reach a pressure that will kill me. But it's the people that are just on their porch.
Yeah.
And the guy points, he's like, get in your house. And she just stands there and films him. It's like, dude, I'm on my porch. You know, this is my property. And then he says, light them up.
Yeah.
And they all start shooting. Not, that's not the, you know, non-lethal stuff, but still. Yeah, I don't want to get.
Yeah, I think it was
shot
rubber bullets.
Non-lethal can still take out an eye. Well, non-lethal can still kill you if they get a really good shot.
That's, I mean, a lady like, was blinded in Minneapolis because she was shot. She was a journalist and got shot in the eye.
Yeah, if I see one more of those videos, I got I hate to say this. I'm going to burn down a Target.
Don't go for the Target. Go for the police departments.
That doesn't make any sense, Chris. So why would I go after the people who
are responsible? No, not Target. You need to burn down your town's mom-and-pop bookstore. That'll show them.
I want to get as far from the actual perpetrator as possible. Maybe my own home would be more effective. Well, here in the Bluegrass, we are not used to having these protests. But if you didn't know, there was a situation here where a woman's, the SWAT team, no-knocked, busted into her apartment, shot her, and afterwards we're like, oh, was this a wrong address? Oh, gosh.
And they also arrested her boyfriend because her boyfriend fired back because he thought it was a home invasion.
We sure have egg on our face. And so we have had our own versions of the protest here, and it's weird when you see the list of cities to see a Kentucky city in there. It's like, what? What? Yeah. Us? No, we don't have part of that. And that's not the only thing we have to be ashamed of this week.
Case files discredit Kemp's accusation that the Democrats tried to hack the Georgia election. So this is in Atlanta.
This is not in Kentucky. What was I thinking?
I don't know.
This is in Georgia.
I don't know.
Well, it's because we've been there.
There's something wrong with me today.
It's fine. Yeah, so this story is a very convoluted story. Let me just summarize it for you. The people that are working on the political processes here, Kemp's campaign, this is from like, what, it's like 2018? Goes back to like 2018? Some of it's from 2016.
I think it was, because these elections will be on the 2 years off the presidential election, right? Yeah, so, but this guy did get reelected.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of it, so the timeline is, it's just like the previous stories we've done where somebody who understands just the bare minimum about web development, I mean, you don't have to know a lot, goes to the campaign site, or no, voter registration, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was voter registration.
And he's like, oh, weird, that's a weird looking URL. What if I just change that number? Yeah, that was one of those deals where you can get anybody's information. So he, I think he tried to contact somebody and was ignored. Then he contacted the press and they're like, oh,
a lot of the press.
Oh, God, this is very embarrassing. Yeah. But then the way this guy responded to that was just...
It was attack helicopters and just... It was insane.
But the attack helicopters were not pointed at this programmer.
No.
Rather, his political opponent.
Yeah.
Who had nothing to do with it.
Also, Department of Homeland Security was involved because they were doing like security monitoring or security analysis. Like Homeland Security was just scanning their stuff to look for signs of an intrusion and signs of an infection or signs of vulnerability. And they included those scans in the report to say, oh, these are hacking attempts. And it's like, no, this is literally coming from the Department of Homeland Security's IP address range. They're not trying to hide what they're doing. This is just normal IT stuff.
And his IT head had signed off that they were planned to do that penetration testing 3 weeks earlier. And supposedly that guy said nothing, as it was one of the situations where he's like, I know what's going on here, but I dare not speak it to the emperor. Anyway, super embarrassing overall. Not as embarrassing as me thinking it was the other state.
Kudos to the journalists, though, that did this, because this was not anything they announced. They had to get this through a Freedom of Information request. So they like literally just woke up one day and were like, hey, whatever happened with that hacking stuff? And then they get the FOIA request, and all the reports from everybody internally discussing it was just like, wow, we're total morons, blah, blah, blah. So it was pretty damning.
Makes you feel confident.
Yeah.
Especially with that election coming up.
Yeah.
Well, the social media companies have definitely been in the crosshairs this week. And Google may be feeling a little left out, but they should feel a little bit better now because they weren't completely left out.
Google has been sued by Arizona over location data and alleged customer fraud. Search giant collects data without users' consent or knowledge, the Arizona Attorney General claims. Most of this suit is a little bit of, I think they mentioned the kids. So like there's the kids educational program, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, are you collecting data on kids? But most of this suit is about the fact that a lot of the end user license agreements have really confusing language. Like, do you not opt in to opt out of the data collection? And it's like, wait, which thing am I doing now?
And turning off location data is not turning off location tracking. You just can't see it on your maps anymore. But there is another one that sounds a little bit different that does turn off location tracking. But you have to turn off both of them, not one or the other.
Yeah, and so the Attorney General is just saying, why can't you just have a pop-up that's like, would you like to be tracked? Would you like to submit all of your data for advertising? And the reason that they can't do that is because everybody would say no.
That would be catastrophic.
Heaven forbid.
The big Huawei debacle continued to play out, but this time in Canada, because that's where the CFO is on house arrest. And
although not for much longer.
Well, she was waiting. The extradition trial, they were trying to get the extradition waived because of the whole political situation, but it's been decided.
Huawei, according to Reuters, Huawei CFO Ming loses a key court fight against extradition to the United States. So it looks like she's probably going to go to the United States to face bank fraud charges and some other things.
Now, I think this is dependent on whether or not she's found guilty in Canada. Or something. There's another... There's still something that has to play out in Canada before this can happen.
So expect that trade war to heat up.
China has already responded. And they called Canada, it was hilarious, you know, basically saying they were bootlickers for the U.S. I can't remember the exact wording, but...
expresses strong dissatisfaction and firm opposition to the decision.
Oh, here we go. This is it.
Will make China, Canada a pathetic clown and scapegoat in the fight between China and the U.S.
Poor Canada. They didn't ask for this. And over in China, man... How, again, bad news for the Hong Kong protesters. Because just as, you know, it seems like the world is paying attention, it's like solidarity with Hong Kong, boom, virus, pandemic hits. Everybody forgets it. They have to go in their homes. They have to give it up for a while. And then they crawl out of their holes and they're like, we will fight again. Boom, American protests take all the headlines. They just can't win, the poor people of Hong Kong. And... when they eventually lose and they come under the dictatorial rulership of the CCP, this is what they can look forward to.
As Chinese authorities expand the use of health tracking apps, privacy concerns grow. So this talks about the red, yellow, green Chinese healthcare QR tracking, but it goes on to say that, hey, you know, China is finding this is actually useful. So it's starting to score people with a 0 to 100 score based on how much you exercise, whether or not you smoke, and your other health habits.
If you go to a doctor.
Yeah. And so, but your employer can also see that. And so a lot of Chinese citizens are like, hey, wait a minute. My employer shouldn't know if I go to the doctor or not. That's not fair. And rightly so.
Do they have HIPAA over there? I guess not.
Yeah, they have a guy who's
like an American law, but like I didn't know if they had any kind of equivalent. But
okay. They have a guy whose nickname is HIPAA.
Zhang HIPAA.
So. Yeah. He makes all the decisions about healthcare
for all 7 billion people.
The Russians have been called out for hacking again. Surprise. It seems like this is a perennial headline. Yeah.
Germany calls in Russia, the Russian envoy over hack attack. And so my favorite thing about this this thing is Germany actually named names. Dmitry Baden. That's clearly not an alias for a Russian hacker. He's a Baden. Dmitry Baden.
A Baden.
But it's German.
Well, no, but that's the Russian hacker that was attacking Germany. They called Moscow. They were like, we need this guy. This is the guy.
Oh, okay. So he named himself. But then still, wouldn't he name himself something clever in Russian?
Hans Baden.
And this story, I feel like we've talked about this story.
Like so much.
Five or six times at this point. This is the pinnacle of political flip-flopping. And you got to think there's money changing hands every time, right?
$93 million, dollars, according to the article.
But I'm not talking about over-the-counter money. I mean, Jesus, how many times are we going to see this?
Linux, not Windows. Why Munich is shifting back from Microsoft to open source again. Munich's flip-flop back to open source is the latest sign of Germany's political sea change over proprietary software. The chant in Germany is, open funding or government funding, open code, something like that?
It was public money, public code, basically, is what it boiled down to.
So, Microsoft famously moved their headquarters, quote unquote, to Munich because it's like, hey, we can't let this happen. And it wasn't just Microsoft, it was also Oracle and some other companies. They had committed to moving from Linux to back to Windows and other proprietary software. And they spent $93 million.
And it's not done. Yeah, they are still moving to Windows from Linux from the last time that they flip-flopped.
And the reason they flip-flopped the last time is because they were running both Linux and Windows at the same time.
Now, they will not immediately abandon Windows, but the next time a budget comes up, they will not budget for software. They want free public software. So who knows? If the other party comes into power during that time, you know this will change back.
Yeah.
That's got to be a nightmare if you're a public worker. Because you have to have two systems. And they're like, did you email me that? And it's like, yeah, I emailed you that. Which email? The Outlook email.
I'm using Thunderbird to get my Outlook email. It's like, oh, you poor soul.
So, yeah. This was missorted. This should have been one in that direction. Because it's more about the Russians. It's not just the Germans they're after.
The NSA is warning of an ongoing Russian hacking campaign against U.S. systems. You dig into this Reuters article, and mostly they're talking about Exim. The vulnerability in Exim that we mentioned a few months ago, a lot of people haven't patched it, especially larger corporations. And some corporations use Exim for their internal, not on the internet network. But if the hackers can breach into the internal systems and they can find an Exim system, then they can breach more internal systems. And so mostly that's what the NSA is talking about, because there's some very, very sophisticated malware that's going to be very difficult to remove from systems if they get infected.
They didn't patch. What are you thinking? Do you remember long ago, in a time before the downfall, when Canada planned a super futuristic city? Sponsored by Google.
That was the Toronto city where everybody was going to share everything at all times. You had no choice.
Especially data. And cryptocurrency was going to bring us all together somehow.
Would you like to share your location? Yes, and very.
Now, the headline said that the pandemic shut that down. But even before the pandemic, a lot of people were sort of resisting it. Because they're like, hey, this seems really scary and dystopian. Not sure if we should have this. And the Japanese government looked at that and they were like, we want that.
Japan enacts a high-tech super city bill. Now, the city they describe is like, you know, it's like something out of one of their anime, like the Ghost in the Shell or something. It's like, we want to track everything at all times. This is going to be really great. The citizens can just, you know, step in somewhere, use biometrics and get their benefits. And it's like,
Now, it kind of makes a little bit more sense for the Japanese, because they are hyper aware of the fact that they're getting old. And there are no children. So, kind of the super AI city sounds like it's going to be this future where, like, just the robots are just coddling old Japanese people and feeding them.
Pretty sure I saw this on Star Trek.
And wiping their butts, you know, and just, like, making sure they don't die of thirst, basically. And that's a weird way of facing that problem. I guess, what can you do, right?
Are there any octogenarians that are registered users of the Hatsune Miku...
Well, there will be. What about those guys that are married to her? You think they're going to get divorced just because they turn 80?
I think if we could get Werner Herzog to understand this, it's probably Oscar material. It's like,
will they keep releasing new versions of the anime avatars as they age, or will they be perpetually 18?
No, I think they'll be perpetually 18.
Yeah, they'll absolutely stay the same age. And then you'll get a new one when, like, the newest anime comes out.
So you never feel weird about... Like, you're 80 and she's 18. How do you explain that to the people that you meet?
There's a lot of...
Do you ever want to explain that to anyone you meet?
Some of them seem proud of it.
I think there's probably going to be a lot of social change there as well. I read a really depressing... Kind of related to this. I read a really depressing... it was something on Reddit, and it was like, I don't have any kids, and all of my family has died in the last 5 years, and I'm the only one that's left. I literally have nobody to talk to. And it's like, I'm okay on my own for now, but there's literally nobody else. And the Reddit thread was like, I'm just bored. And I really hope that was a real person and not somebody that was, like, trolling. Because if that's a troll, that's, like, a super, like, that dark. Is, like, a horrible violation of the social contract to troll. But at the same time, a lot of the replies were like, let's be pen pals. And it's like, oh, that's uplifting.
That's nice. Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of that in Japan.
I'm not worried about that part of it. I'm just worried about, it's like, you know, when I'm too sick to do anything for myself. Hunter S. Thompson. India has launched their contact tracing app, and people were apprehensive because of India's penchant in the past for not only tracking the people and controlling them, but really doing a poor job of it and leaking all the data. So this is probably a good thing.
India's contact tracing app is going open source. I couldn't find the source. I want to take a look at this. This might be a fun separate level one video. Like, they push it up on GitHub or something and just look at it, because there's probably going to be a lot of security issues.
Yeah, one drawback might be open sourcing it will expose those security issues, and they won't be able to react quickly enough before they are exploited.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Probably for the best, though. And they're not the only ones to launch their contact tracing app. This, I have this inability to discern between Switzerland and Sweden. And I know that Sweden is the one that's having a rough time right now.
Austria, yes. And Australia for me.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. That's weird that they're like on top of it in one sense, but like totally dropping the ball in the other sense. And I was like, oh, that's a different country.
Yeah.
No, they're not the same.
The world's first contact tracing app using Google and Apple's API goes live. In Switzerland, the Swiss Cloud app has launched as a pilot to try and contain the spread of the virus.
Did you call it Swiss Cloud on purpose?
Yes. Or
that's not the word.
That is not the word, it's no. It's a different word. It's a different word.
Now, these guys, actually, they were working on their own version of the non-centralized API. And I think, actually, that's what it's using. But they called up Google and Apple, and they're like, hey, listen, we're doing kind of the same thing. When yours is ready, we want to make ours so that we can just switch over to yours. So I think when Google and Apple tell them, they will switch over and they can use that API. But for now, it's using their internal version of the thing.
Yeah. And the algorithm for this, theoretically, supposedly, doesn't rely on or record your location. It just records the beacons that you come into contact with.
I thought they had a picture of it.
Doesn't look like it. There's a video at the top.
I don't have time to watch a video.
This is my favorite follow-up story that we've ever done.
Now this, well, it's not, I don't know how much of a follow-up it is, because this is kind of the same story we talked about, but in the process of talking about it, it was during our live stream.
Yes.
And yeah. People in the chat, of course, I mean, what did we expect, immediately began testing this. And it was like, wow. Because, well, no, we covered it in the sense of in China, this happens.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, well, what about here in the good old US of A? They're not going to censor me. And I was like, oh, wait.
They are.
They're wait, deleting. They did.
If these two exact Chinese characters that I just copy-pasted out of this article.
Not only that, demonetized.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, that's weird. Seems like they really, and some people in the comments were like, hey, if I separate it with these other words, it's okay. But if I put them together and, you know, immediately deletes the comment. And it seems like other people tried the same experiments and came to the same conclusion.
YouTube is deleting comments with two phrases that insult China's Communist Party. The Chinese language phrases are removed within seconds. Now, Google has come out and said, oh, our bad. That wasn't any kind of outside influence. We just accidentally taught the algorithm to do that.
But they point out that there is a three-part system to the Google algorithm. First, someone has to report it, and then a human being has to look at it in context, decide that it's bad, and then that human being feeds it to the machine learning, which then begins to go out and destroy it. So somebody at Google felt this really was something that needed to be censored.
Globally, not just, you know, for the local market and wherever.
A little suspicious. Their response was very vague.
Yeah.
And they really didn't go to any length of actually explaining anything. So.
Oh, man. Sorry, guys. We accidentally built a global oppression engine for censoring all content and, you know, wrong think. And, you know, it's mulligans are bad. It's fine.
Now,
sometimes you just spend hours building that.
Which is the scarier of the two scenarios here, right? Scenario one, YouTube is in the pocket of China. That's pretty scary, right? Scenario two, China has infiltrated YouTube and is in control of the censorship platform, unbeknownst to the YouTube.
Well, scenario three, because of financial pressure, China is in control of me.
I think that would be scenario one. I don't care why they've taken them over, just that they have. And one place that we might not think about as social media, but I think it kind of counts as social media, is Wikipedia, because the editors in the background have all their own little like power struggles, and every once in a while we'll do a story where there's an editor gone rogue.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how these appear to be fairly intelligent people, but you know, spouting off information compulsively is often a sign of severe mental disorders. And I think that's what's going on here.
Wikipedia sets new rule to combat toxic behavior. And so toxic behavior is actually kind of broad because there's a lot of behavior that was undesirable on their platform that's not really against the rules. But things like tone policing, and like you can have a legit need to tone police, but you can also carry that to the nth degree when you're just trying to cause trouble and somebody will just wear you down. And so that would be an example of toxic behavior. It's like, oh, the tone is not neutral enough in this video or in this article or whatever.
And, you know what? I'm just going to quickly... No. Well, one story from now, we'll observe a way where that can chill speech in a terrifying way. But a lot of this is also that identity politics bleeding into everything.
Yeah.
And people, like, they don't feel like it's inclusive for whatever reason. Science articles, for example, could come under scrutiny because the facts say something that might hurt some people's feelings.
This Wikipedia article is describing a whitelist and a blacklist. The whole article is just deleted.
Yeah, so.
We'll fix it later.
But if you are a programmer and you're working on code that might have been written in, let's say, 2010, you might need to know what those two things mean.
1982.
No, I mean, like, certainly it was, because if you, let's say that those really are bad. And we stopped using them. Or probably like, what, 2015, 2013, when people started complaining about that?
I'm just imagining, like, I'm working on an antique computer, and I look at the bottom of the printed circuit board, and just as I read the bottom of the printed circuit board for the hard drive where it says master and slave, somebody bursts through the door with a hammer, screeching, and just starts smashing my antique hard drive. And it's like, okay.
That'll be your own fault. You know who I blame? Wendy's.
The Wendy's social media?
No, the Wendy's Corporation. Oh. Just for existing.
They were out of beef that one time.
Burn them down.
That was unacceptable.
Zuckerberg has been in the spotlight this week because of the whole Twitter explosion. You know, it's like, do we censor political speech? Do we flag it? Whatever. He has a very hard line, and he's sticking to it.
Mark Zuckerberg says social networks should not be fact-checking political speech. And this article goes on to describe how it's like, you know, politicians are going to say things. We really, like, it's an impossible can of worms if we open that up. The problem I have with that is that if you're not going to censor political speech from politicians, you probably should censor anything, because that would make political speech more equal speech than regular speech, which is maybe a problem.
Well, that's certainly what Twitter was doing, because they were refraining from flagging politicians for things that they would flag everybody else for.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's still a lot of that. I mean, if you are... a lot of the things that are being said about the protests are calling for violence. Maybe it's justified, maybe it's not. I don't see any flags on those if they're going in one direction. But when Trump says something in the other direction, that's violence. And I'm not saying I agree with him. Watching those police makes me so angry again. I'm blind with hatred. So I'm not on his side, but there's an obvious difference in how they're treated, because there are for sure protesters calling for violence. Absolutely. This is a story I was talking about. And if Wikipedia is infected with this disease of identity politics, this is the kind of thing you can expect. Where it's censorship, but censoring what? We're simply just erasing history because some people might be uncomfortable with it. Maybe it's non-inclusive, but these things happened. Yeah. Why would we ever want to forget this?
Facebook suspends Russian colorist for dangerous, quote-unquote, World War II images. One of the world's leading colorists of historic photos fears she will be permanently banned from Facebook and Instagram after multiple suspensions of her accounts. Basically, all, like, these are historical black and white photos that have been colorized. That's all it is. And that is somehow not okay now.
It is wild.
You've done a really good job on these, too. Like, if you go scroll through and look at them.
Yeah, it's crazy how when you see these in black and white, it's not as real. And when you see them in color, it's like, oh, wow, those are real people. This happened. But, I mean, it's just like that red swastika really... Really,
what just, movie is this from?
It really pops. Oh,
wait, no, this is the thing.
And so that's her. That's the woman who's being banned unjustly. Look at that stash. Amazing. This, you forget that they actually had swords.
Yeah.
I think that the real problem here is that this kind of action threatens somebody's livelihood. Like, when, you know, like, we use YouTube as a platform, and a lot of people depend on YouTube for their livelihood at this point. And even just minor adjustments to this, that, and the other can completely destroy somebody's livelihood. And that's what really upsets a lot of people. It's like, okay, it's okay today, but it's not okay tomorrow. How does that work?
I know we've said this before, and I'm certainly not the first person to make this observation, but how about those uniforms? Man, those are good-looking uniforms, aren't they?
Wait, didn't... No, no.
You can criticize literally anything else, but, like, the uniforms do look sharp.
No, it was... Wasn't it Hugo Boss or somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, a literal fashion designer. It was like, no, we need to look good doing these really just awful things.
Oh,
wow.
Propaganda.
I hadn't seen that one. I've seen that picture before in black and white. That's incredible.
Yeah, it really brings it home.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. I wonder how long that takes.
A long time, I imagine.
Yeah.
You ever try that, Krista?
Yeah, and, like, I don't know exactly how she does it, but, like, it's actually pretty difficult to do, because if you do it just by, like, layering colors on top of each other, it's really easy to get areas that are, like, too saturated, and it's like, well, other areas need to be less saturated, and, like, it's almost like painting over the image. She does a really, really good job on these images.
Well, the people of Facebook will never know.
Or Instagram.
We must, you know, the 1984 style, we need to make sure that no one can ever find her and that search engines will never return that kind of content.
They also, that last picture with the Russian flag, they pointed out that the ones with just the Russian iconography, they're fine with. It's only the swastika or the Nazi uniforms that get flagged. And they point out that a human being probably has to initiate that.
Hmm. What if it had been Italy before the alliance?
Again, I think that's okay.
See, that's insane.
Because the morons who are flagging these don't know what that flag is. I'm like, oh, what is that? I like these pretty pictures. And finally, a bit of a fun story for you, having to do with social media. And at first, it seems like this is maybe a little bit mean and brutal, but it seems like they're just having a good time with it. And luckily, although who knows how long until 4chan finds this, it seems to be going in his favor.
Scottish club to decide the fate of goalkeeper using Twitter. It is a football club, or a soccer club, as we would say here in the U.S., and I think they've rehired this guy. This guy's like the third choice for the goalie or something, so it's like something horrible has to happen to the other two goalies. So they had a Twitter poll. It's like, should we hire this guy back? I want to use, you know, I don't know. But
he's a part-timer. You get the sort of idea here that, you know, like, maybe they just let him sweep up after the games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been here for so long. Let's just give you a shirt, you know? And if everybody else dies in a bus accident, you're going to play, buddy.
But not before then.
Yeah. It's probably a publicity stunt, because I'm pretty sure this is against labor laws, even, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
You know what? Now he's a little bit of a celebrity, so he can sort of be, you know, a figurehead.
You know, with world events being what they are, we can give him a little bit of a pass on those labor law rules. It's fine.
Are they playing soccer yet?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe a good reason to get rid of the contract, then, huh?
Yeah. What have we got for tomorrow?
Save a little money. Tomorrow will be business and...
Probably more riots. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant for the news.
I think business and robots for tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Any other thoughts? No?
Sure. There's lots of thoughts. Oh.
On Twitch,
there's been an explosion because of the pandemic. What's the website? Fans, something fans.
OnlyFans.
Yeah, that new signups during the pandemic they're up like 40%. Got to do something, right?
Weird times.
All right, Krista.